What we're talking about is last week, I shared with the congregation, I'm sharing it again. The Lord shared with me this. He said, there are seven things that will guarantee our success, okay? So how many did we go over last week? Three, right? We only covered three, so we got a long ways to go, right? But there are seven things. Say seven things. Now, these seven things will guarantee your success in 2018 and in 2019, whatever. So the first one that we looked at was what? Number one was what? Give the word of God what? First place in your life. Let's turn in our Bibles because we're going to start here. Turn to John chapter 3, and then we'll pick up at our text. John chapter 3, 16th verse. John 3, 16. Is everyone there? Our Bible should open right up to it. I'm reading from the King James. If you have another version, please read along. Let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Now that's the gospel in a nutshell in one verse. God did what? He so loved, right? What did he do? So God so loved, he did what? He gave, but what did he give? His only begotten Son. And what was the results of that? Whosoever, say whosoever, would believe in his Son should not what? But have what? Now, isn't that easy to share with somebody? That's the gospel in a nutshell. Amen? Now, let's turn back to our lesson. Turn to Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 1. And we're looking at verse 8. This is our text in our study for these past few weeks. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, in the King James, it says it this way. Read along with me. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, last week we talked about we don't have the book of the law, but what do we have? The word of God. So we could say it this way. This word of God, say that, this word of God shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate on it. I shall speak on it day and night, and I will observe to do all that is written in the word of God. Then I will make my way prosperous. And then I will have good success. So now, number one was what? Give what? The word of God, what? First place in your life. And the reason why we said that, and I'm not going into all of that. You have to pick up the tape from last week. God places priority in the word, right? Jesus was what? The word made flesh. So if God places priority in his word, and Jesus is the word of God, if we put God first, guess what we are guaranteed? Success, right? What was the second one? This is a test. The second one was what? Speak the word, right? Absolutely. Amen. And the word that we came up with was what the word called what? Confession, right? And remember I said the Greek for that is homologio. Now, homologio means what? Same words as God. Homeo means same. Logos means God. So same words as God. So when we speak God's words, not the pastor's words, not the elder's words, not your mother's words, when we speak God's words, what are we doing? We're making what? Confession. So we should speak God's words, right? Now, what did Jesus told us in Mark 11, 22. Jesus told his disciples something. What did he tell them? Mark 11, 22. Turn to it, Bible students. Mark 11, 22. Jesus said, answering them, saying, have what? Faith in what? In God. Now, in the margin of your Bible, if you have a good one, or if you have a good iPad, it should have a little margin to tell you the Hebrew for that word means have the faith of God. Okay, the faith of God. Then Jesus then tells us what God's faith is. In Mark 11, 23 and 24, what does he say? Therefore I say unto you, if you what? Speak to what? The mountain. What's going to happen to the mountain? It's going to do what? Move, right? But guess what? You're going to have to tell the mountain to do something, right? Remember, we talked about that last week. You're going to have to speak to your mountains and tell them where to go. Just don't look at them and say, oh, wow. Wow, our bills are really piling up. Well, the doctor's report isn't sounding too good. The forecast for the weather. No, we have to speak to our mountains. What are we going to speak? God's word. And we're going to tell them where to go, right? Amen? Now, last week I shared this with you, that the Holy Spirit shared this with me. We looked in the book of James. Remember it talked about taming your tongue? Now, sometimes some of us have problems and challenges with our confession because we haven't learned to get a handle on our tongue. That little piece of meat between your teeth, right? Now, James said that we have to do what? Tame it, right? Now, here's what the Holy Spirit gave me. He told me, if you guard your tongue will guide your life. Guard your tongue and guide your life, okay? Now, the third thing that we talked about, I'm running through these real quick. Number three was what? Have a productive, powerful prayer life. If we have a productive, powerful prayer life, we're guaranteed success. And we looked at three people, right? Last week, we looked at Daniel, remember? Daniel was a man of what? Purpose. But he was a man of purpose. That purpose moved him into becoming a man of what? Prayer. And because he was a man of prayer, he had what? Perception. And because he was a man of purpose and prayer, he became a man of what? Power. No matter what kingdom came and went, Daniel's position was always the same, okay? And then the same goes for us, right? Then the other example we had was the example of the Apostle Paul. Remember about prayer? What was Paul doing in Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. What was he doing? What did he do? He said, for this reason I bow my knees unto the Father, right, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he may give you what? Spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, right? So in other words, Paul was praying for who? The church in Ephesus. He was praying that they have what? Perception. Because they weren't having it right then and there. Then he moved over to chapter 3 of that same epistle, and he talked about that they would be filled with all might, right? Spiritual power and might. So Paul was interceding in his prayer. He was interceding for the church, right? So Paul is showing us an example of another position of being a productive prayer was one of intercession. He interceded for the church. Amen. And then the last one we had was who? Jesus, right? And remember, everything Jesus did, he did first how? In prayer. Because you see in the Gospels, the scriptures that we looked at, we're not going to go there today, but Matthew chapter 14, Mark chapter 6, 46, and Luke chapter 9, 28. In all of those scriptures, it says, when evening was come, he sent the multitudes away and went apart into the mountain to do what? To pray, right? But then it says, in the morning, when the morning came, he came out and performed what? Miracles, right? Now, how do you think he performed those miracles? He spent time in prayer, and it's going to move us over to number four. Spending time in prayer is important, but when we're in prayer, number four, we need to have a hunger for the presence of God. So if when Jesus was in the mountain praying at night, all night, he was in whose presence? God. He wasn't in the disciples' presence. They were off to the side. He wasn't with the multitude. He was up in that mountain in the presence of God. Now, the presence of God is very important, okay? Now, let's look at something here, okay? I want to show you this. Turn to Psalm 42. We're looking at number four, hungering. You need to hunger for the presence of God, amen? You know, the presence of God is not going to come this way. Hello? Who's there? It's me, the presence of God. Can I come in? It's not going to come that way, okay? Everyone got that? The presence of God is not going to come on your phone. It's not going to come in a Twitter. It's not going to come in a little whatever they give you, right, on those little gadgets. It's not going to come that way. The presence of God is not going to come that way. Turn to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, and let's look at verses 1 and 2. And this is David, right? Listen to what he says. He says, as the, it says, in my King James, it says the hart, but it's the deer. As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Verse 2, read it with me. My soul thirsteth for who? For God. For who? The living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now notice what he said there. As the deer pants for the water. Have you ever seen a deer pant for water? You know why deers do that? There's a little, if you go in the forest, sometimes there's like a little water in the area. A deer would stay with that water, and he would just follow it. He would just follow it because the deer knows eventually it's going to lead to the river. Okay? The lifeline of a deer is dependent on him following after water, because let's face it, wherever there's water, things are growing, right? Plants, vegetables, things of that nature. So he's always going. So David is saying this, even as a deer pants after the water, so does my soul pant after who? God. So David was a man always going after God's presence. Now, David wasn't a perfect man. We all know about that, right? But he was always going after the presence of God. And God said he was a man what? He was what? David. God said David was a man after who? After his own heart. How many of you want to be known as a person after God's own heart? Well, we're going to become people that are known to have the heart of God. You're not going to know his heart if you're not in his presence. Let me share that with you. Now, all of you in this room, you know me, right? I'm Elder William, right? You know me. But all of you don't really know me. My wife, Valerie, knows me. You know why? Because she's been with me for how long now? 39 years. We've been together 39 years. But here's what I'm saying. I know her. And some of you know your spouses and know each other. How do you know? By being in their presence. Some of you right now, you're just starting new in the things of God, and you're trying to figure out everything. Well, God is here. God is not going to leave you. But he'll take you where you are. He'll take you just as you are. But what you always want to be found is hungering after his presence, okay? Now, we're in Psalms, right? Turn to Psalm 140. Psalm 140. Because I don't want you to think Elder Bill is making this all up, saying, oh, Elder Bill says we got to be in front of the presence of God. No, the word of God says we need to be in the presence of God. Amen? Psalm 140, look at verse 13. He says it this way. He says, okay. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall do what? Dwell where? In his presence. So you see, it's not something we got to conjure up. Okay, I want you to understand that. Being in the presence of God is not something that we have to conjure up. Being in the presence of God is, if we're in Christ and God's in us, then all we have to do is just acknowledge his presence in us and with us. Amen? Everyone got that? Now, go back to Psalm 97. Psalm 97. Now, there's benefits to being in God's presence. There are benefits. Now, we're going to see one of them right here. Psalm 97, look at verse 5. Are you there? Okay, I'm reading from the King James, so just follow along with me. And let's read along. Read along with me. Let's read. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord, the whole earth. Now think about that. Hills, those mountains, and if they were to come into God's presence, what happens? They melt like wax. What is wax? The interesting thing about wax is hard, right? But when you put heat, when it's in front of heat, what happens? It liquefies, right? So here's what he's saying here. David is saying here in this psalm. The presence of God, it melts wax. So that's why it's important for us to be in God's presence, because the impurities, the things that we got, the hang-ups and all those things that we got that nobody else knows about, you sit in his presence, he'll reveal them to you. He'll show you them. And he'll say, hey, that needs to go. That's not you. And the things that God's, here's what happens too. A lot of us grew up with the mindsets that we had, and we've come into the kingdom of God, and we say, well, hey, listen, that's just the way I am. God made me this way. That's the way I am. Not necessarily. God formed you and knitted you, but you were formed, and then each and every one of us was formed and shaped in what? Iniquity. Then we came to Christ, right? Then we have to become aware of who we are in Christ, right? But here's what's happening. While we're becoming more aware of who we are in Christ, those things that are in our lives that God didn't put there, he's removing. And that's attitudes, mindsets, fears, phobias, all those types of things. So they melt in his presence. Those things that are unlike God, I like what it says here. Those things that are unlike God, when you sit in his presence, they'll melt away. Amen? You got that? Now, here's something. Why should we hunger after his presence? Turn to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 16. And look at verse 27. Once again, this is David again, the man after God's own heart, right? Look at what he says in verse 27. He says, glory and honor are in his what? Presence. Strength. Now, he's not stopping there. These are in his presence too. Strength and gladness are in his place. Let me say that again. Glory and honor are where? In God's presence. So if you want to be full of the glory, if you want to receive the honor or be around the honor, be in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Amen? Now, turn over to Exodus. I know I'm going quick, but I just want to touch on these because you can study this all out in more detail. But look at Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, this is God showing himself to the children of Israel, and he's showing himself to Moses, right? But notice, look at what Moses says. In Exodus chapter 33, read the whole chapter, but I'm just taking out the segments. So look at this, and look at what he says. And he says, God is saying to him, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest, right? Now look at what Moses says. And he said unto him, if your presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. He's talking about, remember, they're out in the wilderness, in the tabernacle, in the presence of God. And God says, my presence will go before you and give you rest. Notice what Moses said. If your presence doesn't go with us, we ain't going nowhere, okay? And that should be our resolve too. Now, Psalm 16, I'll wind it up with this. Psalm 16, 16th Psalm in the 11th verse, Deacon Deborah shared a portion of it. But I want to read it from the modern English version. This is David once again. He says, you will make me known. You will make known unto me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So you see, it's important that we hunger and thirst for God's presence. Amen. Everyone got that? Everyone see that? That's number four, right? Now, number five, if you're taking notes, number five, follow the direction and leading of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Now, what I'm sharing with you is nothing new. You've heard this before, but we're just going over these things, and these are the things that the Spirit of God told me. These things will guarantee our success. Amen? Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Familiar passage to many of us, but let's turn there and pretend like this is the first time we're reading it. Amen? Are you there? Okay, let's read it. For as many as are what? Led by what? Spirit of God, they are what? Let's read it again. For as many as are led by what? The Spirit of God, they are what? Sons of God. Now, the New Passion Translation says it this way. I like how he says it, or the translation. It says, the mature children of God are those, and it has a highlight under those, who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. Now, that word impulses, I just switched it because I like to use this word, promptings. Okay, so I'm going to read it again. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the promptings of the Holy Spirit. See, many times the Holy Spirit will prompt you. He's not going to make you. The Holy Spirit is not a taskmaster. He's not like the guy in Rawhide. Get him up, move him out. You know that thing? How many of you know what Rawhide, right? Remember? Rowdy Yates. No, he's not a trail boy. He's not a ramrod. He's not gonna drive you like wild cattle. The Holy Spirit is not going to lead you to do something crazy. Okay, everyone got that? Holy Spirit is not going to make you do something foolish, but he will give you promptings, leadings, directions. So it says here, the mature, I like how it says it, the mature children of God are those. Now, I told you it was highlighted, right? In the margin of this, it says the Greek means this. The Greek is quite emphatic. Those and only those. So let me say it this way. The mature children of God are those and only those who are moved by the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So we need to develop that. We need to develop being directed by the Spirit of God. It's important to follow the direction and leadings and promptings of the Holy Spirit. Now, the question is why? Everyone say why. I'm glad you asked that. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Why the Holy Spirit? John chapter 14. Look at verse 17. Chapter 14, verse 17. Jesus is speaking, right? And what does he say? Even what? The Spirit of what? Is everyone there? I didn't hear anyone read it with me. Let's read it again. Even the what? Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth what? With you, and shall be what also? In you. So why be led by the Spirit of God? He's what? The Spirit of what? Truth. So if you want to get truth, if you want to receive truth, see, the world is always asking for truth. What is truth, right? Truth is when we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, he's the Spirit of truth. He's not going to lead us into a lie. Now, here's what happens when we run into people who are not mature enough to understand. Remember, it says here, the mature children, right, are those who are led by the promptings. The immature ones will make up something and say the Spirit told them that. Spirit told me to come in here and rob this liquor store. No, I mean, that sounds foolish, right? Well, Spirit told me to come in here and do something crazy, right? That's not the Spirit. It's the Spirit of truth. He's going to guide us in what? All truth. Now, we're still in John. Move over to John chapter 16. Jesus is still speaking, right? Rather, he's praying. Look at verse 13. Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit, right? The Spirit of truth. He says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, because up until this time, he didn't come, right? He didn't come in manifestation. He came on what day? Day of Pentecost, right? This is before Pentecost. So Jesus is praying this. He says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into what? For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever that he shall hear, right? That shall he speak. Now, who do you think the Holy Spirit's hearing? He's hearing the Father. He's hearing the Father. That shall he speak. So in other words, when the Holy Spirit gives you something, he's not giving you something that he thought up. He's giving you something that the Father spoke. You got that? Where is it? He shall speak and he will show you things to come. Do you see that? The Holy Spirit's going to do what? Show us things to come. But now see how it all ties in? If we're in the presence of God, if we're being led by the Spirit of God, we can expect to receive truth. We can expect to get insight. We can expect to see things that are going to happen down the road. You agree? That's what the Word of God is saying, right? Now, all of that, it says, if we desire to be successful, we need to follow his lead. Now, we're going to have a church school class coming up, not starting this Sunday, but after our next church school session, we're going to have a whole class devoted to how to be led by the Spirit of God, okay? So I'm not going into detail about that. I'm just putting out a little highlight for that for you. Amen? Now, listen, when we think about being led by the Spirit of God, I like to think about Jesus. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. We're not going to go into all of this, but I want you to see something very important. Luke chapter 4, and look at verse 1. Is everyone there? Luke chapter 4, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 1. And look at what it says. It says, and Jesus, being full of what? The Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was what? Led by who? Into the wilderness Look at verse 2. Being 40 days tempted of who? And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, afterward he hungered, right? Now think about this. Jesus was full of what? The Holy Ghost, right? Now, he was led by who? The Holy Spirit where? Into where? The wilderness. Okay, now I want you to see this. Being led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The wilderness is a barren place. Nothing's there. But notice, he's being led into a place that looked like nothing was going to happen. But how long was he there? 40 days. Did he have picnics? Did he have buffets or what? He fasted for what? 40 days. And after that 40 days, what happened? No, but while the 40 days was going on, what was happening during that time? He had a program director, right? Who's the program director? The devil was coming and doing what? Tempting him for 40 days in the wilderness, and afterwards he was hungered, right? Now, we know the rest of the story. I'm not getting into that, but I want you to see when we're being led by the Spirit of God in the natural, it may look like something that doesn't make sense. It may look like, man, I'm doing this and I'm in a barren place. I'm in a place where there's no productivity. I'm in a place where it seems like everything's against me. There's tormenting. The devil was tormenting him 40 days. You got that? And it wasn't like he came every 5 minutes. He was tormenting him 24/7, 40 days. And he was hungry, right? But we know the resolve. The resolve was Jesus did what we said number one was, right? Keep the word of God first, right? Number two, he spoke the word of God. Okay? And now look at what happened here. I want you to see something. Look at this, okay? Look at verse 13, because after this, the temptation was over. But look at 13. And when the devil had ended all his temptations, he departed from him for what? A season. Now look at verse 14. Look at this. Read it with me. And Jesus returned in what? The power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out what? A fame of him through all the region round about. And just think, there was no Instagram, he went viral, right? But what happened? He returned in the power. Why? Because he was led by the Spirit of God. See, church, it's important that we are led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Now, number five, because I can go a little bit longer, but we only have a few more minutes. Number five. Number six, I'm sorry, yeah, you were paying attention. Number five was what? Follow the direction and leading of the Holy Spirit. Good. I'm glad. That was my A student there, by the way. Number six. Listen, if you're taking notes, become involved in the seed time and harvest principle. Let me say it again. Number six. Become involved in the seed time and harvest principle. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. Look at verse 22. That's the last verse in chapter 8. And look at what it says. It says, while the earth remaineth, what? Seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So let me ask you this question. Are we on the earth? Right? And what is the temperature? What's the temperature outside? Cold, right? So what season are we in? Winter. Now listen, while the earth remaineth, say this to me, say seed time and harvest. Two different things, but they both are dependent on one another. In order for us, and notice what we're saying here, become involved in that seed time and harvest principle. You have to sow something before you can get something. You got that? This is not a magic lamp and you rub it three times. You know, my name is Jimmy, gimme, gimme, gimme. No, we have to sow. And God is saying here, this is a principle that he's placed in Genesis. While the earth remains, and the earth is still here, there's always going to be what? Seed time and harvest. Now turn to Galatians chapter 6. Go over to Galatians chapter 6. And many times what we do with Galatians chapter 6, we refer to this when we're receiving love offerings and things of that nature for people, you know, stuff like that, right? Nothing wrong with that because it's the scripture, it's the word of God. But notice what he says here. I want you to see the seed time and harvest principle at work, even in this scripture. Galatians chapter 6, look at verses 7 through 9. No, look at 7 through 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9. Are you there? Let's read it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Hold it right there. Isn't that seed time and harvest? Now, how many of you heard that context of that verse in the negative? Like, you're going to reap what you sow, right? When mama wants you to behave yourself, you're going to reap what you sow, right? But there's a good side of that too, right? Let's keep on going, right? Verse 8. For he that does what? Soweth to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to what? So shall of the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting. Verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in what? We shall do what? If we do not what? If we ain't not. So there's always seed time and harvest. I want you to think about it. Everything you do is connected to seed time and harvest. And we need to become more involved in seed time and harvest. Now, let me give you an example. The biggest sower in the Bible is who? God, right. What did he sow? His son. He sowed his son as a seed, right? Jesus, right? His only begotten son. And what's the harvest? All of us, right? And even more to come. So we have here, in other words, God was involved in the seed time and harvest principle. Because the Bible says in due time, he brought forth a son under the law, which was Jesus, right? So God was involved in the seed time and harvest. Now, I want to share this with you. We have three things that we can sow in this seed time and harvest principle. See, every time people think about seed time and harvest, we always think about money, right? But money is really not the main one. Here's what we can sow as a seed. Our time. Each and every one of us has time. God has given each and every one of us in this room time. Now, we can sow our time. We can sow it to our flesh and reap what? Corruption. We can sow it to the Spirit and reap what? Life everlasting. Here's the other one. Our talents. Everyone in this room has a talent. If we had a talent scout, some of you can sing. Some of you can dance. Some of us can't dance and sing. But some of us can cook. Some of us can build. Some of us can heal. Some of us can help. Some of us can read. Some of us can do a whole lot of things. Each and every one of you have a talent. But we're going to do what with that talent? We're going to sow it to what? Not the flesh, but what to what? Spiritual things. So we can give of our talents, okay? And the final one is this, which we call our finances, our treasure. So each and every one of us has three things we can sow this year in 2018. We can sow our time, we can sow our talents, and we can sow our treasures. And this is what the Spirit of God told me to encourage you on. In 2018, look for opportunities to sow. Not just finances, but to sow of your time, your talent, and your treasure, okay? So everyone understand that? So if you want to be successful, we're going to have to do what? Get involved in what? The seed time and harvest principle. Okay, number 7, the last one. Are you ready for this one? Number 7, we're going to have to perfect, myself included, we're going to have to perfect our love walk. Now, I thought it was interesting that Pastor Ed was talking about that. Now, here's what I got. Love is the hub that will keep all of the things we're talking about. Everything that we've talked about has to come out of the area of love. Amen? Turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 34. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Jesus says this. He says what? A new commandment I give unto you, that you do what? Love what? One another. That you love one another as what? I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, I think that's interesting. You notice what Jesus said? Jesus is telling this to his disciples. He says, a new commandment. See, up until that time, there was no commandment that said you had to love your neighbor. You had to love the Lord your God and all that other stuff, right? But now Jesus says a new commandment. Now, the interesting thing about a commandment is not a suggestion. Really, he could say it this way. In the military, we called it a general order. So Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you do what? Love one another. But then he gives a qualifier, as I have loved you. Now, the question is this. How does Jesus love us? How does he love us? Unconditionally? How else does he love us? Everlastingly? How else does he love us? Consistency. How much does he love us? Unselfishly, with no motives, no agenda, self-sacrificing. He said it this way. He said, greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for what? His friends. And he called them. He said, I call you my friends, not my servant. He said, you are my friends. And the interesting thing about that love that Jesus was talking about, on the night when he was giving them that communion, one of them was going to betray him. One of them has already betrayed him. And he said, with great desire, I desire to share this with you. And then he went into all the elements and broke it down. He said, but do this in remembrance of me. So in other words, greater love hath no man. Jesus said, a new commandment that I give you. Now, church, here's where the rubber meets the road. Okay? If we are his disciples, the world is going to know we're his disciples, not because of the cars we drive, not because of a little bumper on the back that says honk if you love Jesus, not because if you wear a cross. And the interesting thing now today, a lot of people that wear a cross, I'm not against that because I was going to buy a cross one time and I seen the biggest drug dealers with the biggest crosses. So I said, listen, I don't be mistaken for a drug dealer. But the point is, the cross is not on me, it's in me. All right? And Jesus said this, greater love. The love that men will know we're his disciples by how we are what? Our love towards one another. Not by our preaching, not by our singing, but by our love for one another. Now, let me ask you this, and this is just an honest with all of us. And it's like a family. You know, a lot of families sometimes, they love one another. On the outside, my family, I came from a very dysfunctional family. I'll talk about my family. I came from a very dysfunctional family. Every holiday that we met, it was like fight night. Who was going to start the fight? The fight was going to start somewhere. People, this one's going to get drunk. This one's going to come late. People don't know when to leave, don't know when to come. So we were very dysfunctional. But in our dysfunction, we had one standing rule, and that standing rule was this. If anybody touched any of us, your cousin, your sister, your brother, you were to take up for them. Even if they're dead wrong, you know, you hit them later, but my family was, we exact revenge on people. In other words, we're going to hurt you because you hurt him. And even though he's a jerk, we'll deal with him later, but we still got to hurt you. Now, isn't that dysfunctional? But in that dysfunction, there was an honor amongst ourselves that we were not going to let anybody step over us. We were not going to let anybody hurt us. If somebody did something to one of my sisters, I was after him. Okay? But in the kingdom of God, how many times have we hurt our own when we should have been taking up for them? Now, once again, when I'm not talking about, I'm using my family as an example. I would never agree with almost everything they did, but because of the honor's sake and everything, I would have to take up for them. Now that I'm in the kingdom of God, I know better. But the point I'm making is this, in the family of God, the love. Jesus said, men will know we're his disciples by the love we have for one another. We need to perfect that. That's what the Lord said, perfect. You know what perfect means? Improve it. So in 2018, one of my goals is I'm asking the Lord, and I'm looking in the Word, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me to perfect my love walk. Because all of us can use a little improvement in that area. Amen? I'm not the only one, right? Or I am the only one, and you guys got it all down packed. Okay, now, turn over to Jude, the book of Jude. That's near the end, in the back there, way back there. And the only verse word of faith people use is verse 20 of Jude, right? But be beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, right? How many of you got that highlighted in your Bible, right? How many of you got that highlighted? Tell the truth. Yeah, we all got it, right? But now, verse 21, how many of you got that highlighted? Okay, let's highlight it now. Look at what he says here. He says, now, building ourselves up, what? Praying in the Holy Ghost, right? But look at what he says here. Keep what? Yourselves where? Now hold it. The same writer said, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying the Holy Ghost. Now he's telling us that we have to keep ourselves how? So here's the thing. We can be full of the Holy Ghost and not have an ounce of love. We can spout off very nice and not have an ounce of love. But look what he says here. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, I got this in some other translations. The Passion Translation, the TPT, says it this way. Fasten your hearts to the love of God. You hear that? Fasten your hearts. You know how they say fasten your seatbelts? Right? Fasten your seatbelts. Well, fasten your hearts to the love of God. And here's another one I like. I think this is the Martin translation. It says it this way. It says, stay always within the boundaries where the love can reach and bless you, where God's love can reach and bless you. Let me read that again. Stay always within the boundaries where God's love can reach and bless you. Now, the final one is, we're not going to go in there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? It was interesting. Pastor Ed shared that on Sunday, and I got it into my spirit too. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the Amplified Version. Read that. Read that. That gives you a good understanding of the love of God. Amen? So now, listen at this all together, okay? Let's put this all together. So now, let's look at this picture now. If we want to have, and God says these seven things can guarantee our success. The first one is what? Give the word of God what? First place in your life. Number two is what? Speak the word of God. Number three is what? Have a productive, powerful prayer life. Number four, hunger for the presence of God. Number five, follow the direction and leading of the Holy Spirit. Number six. What's number six? Become involved in the seed time and harvest principle. And finally, number seven, perfect your love walk. Church, if we do these, if we practice these seven things, we are guaranteed success in every area of our lives. Amen? So let's close by saying this. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that 2018 will be a blessed, prosperous, victorious life for me. Father, I thank you that I will give the word of God first place in my life. I will speak the word of God. I will have a productive, powerful prayer life. I will hunger for your presence. Okay, and also this. I will follow the direction and the leading and the promptings of your Holy Spirit. Okay, I will become involved. Say it this way. I will become more involved. I will become more involved in the seed time and harvest principle. I will sow of my time. I will sow of my talents. I will sow of my treasure into the kingdom of God. And finally, Father, I will perfect with your help and the Holy Spirit's help this love walk, because the love of God will be seen and evident in my life in 2018. Now give him a praise. Hallelujah. Give him a praise if you believe that. Glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Give him praise. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you guaranteed us success. Thank you that you've given us these things to meditate on and feed upon a daily basis. Oh, we give you thanks, Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.